this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. Now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we would never...
Welcome, folks, to another edition here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and this is Republic Broadcasting at www.republicbroadcast.org. Again, that's www.republicbroadcasting.org. You're also listening to us at www.talkstreamlive. That's talkstreamlive.com. www.talkstreamlive. Today's date is May the 15th, 2023, and we are coming to you live out of Republic Broadcast Network studio. Today, folks, we're not going to have any guests. What we're going to be doing is going over some things that are really urgent in the news right now. For those of you that are not taking the newspaper, for those of you that have reported to me through emails and other, that you don't even have a TV or that you don't watch TV news. So I will try to bring you up to speed in this 1 hour with all that is going on right now that is current. Now, this is some information that's mostly coming out of the American Free Press and also the Roseburg Beacon, as well as there's some of this information is also on Redoubt News. For those of you that have not heard of Redoubt News, you can go to Redoubt, that's R-E-D-O-U-B-T, and you can find it on the internet. It's hailing out of the state of Idaho. And Sherry and her hubby are the ones that have been putting this together for many years now, doing their research, having people contribute to Redoubt News, and keeping people informed, not only in Idaho, but throughout the country and the western states as well. Now, remember, Jeffrey Bennett, if you are interested in buying gold or silver, Midas Resources, you want to go to Jeffrey Bennett for that. That is a place where you can get the best deals. He's someone who's honest, and as soon as he gets your order and it's paid for, it is shipped out to you almost immediately. So I strongly encourage you right now to think about gold and silver. And when I cover in one of my stories today why the subject of gold and silver, precious metals, is so important, I have talked to people that have dealt with gold and silver, precious metals, platinum, and others as well, and they've told me that the government tries to confiscate people's precious metals the next time. They better watch out. People are savvy now. They're aware of what's going on with the globalists, with the deep state, with the cabal, with the New World Order. And so, therefore, there's ways that you can protect your investment. As you all know, that paper money now is being printed. That's not backed with anything. So it's basically... worth less than even the toilet paper that we have in our bathrooms. And the New World Order, the cabal, they know we're onto them. They realize that we are waking up. As many people said, it's called the Great Awakening. And that's exactly what it is. It's taking time. Many of the world's people are just now waking up. They're beginning to look back on the results now of what happened with the plandemic, with the blackmails and the forced inoculations. I mean, I literally saw a video of a lady who was running through the fields in India. She did not want to take the jab. She'd been hearing of people dying within minutes and days of taking the jab. And basically, the townspeople, the people in charge of that village, went after her, grabbed her, dragged her back to the village, and forcibly held her down where they put that needle in her arm. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when I turn around and I look at things like that, and I realize how tyrannical governments have become, both local, state, and federal, and governments around the world. There are some people in some places around the world where their governments are backing them up. They're supporting them. They're saying, no, we don't want to be part of the United Nations any longer. We don't want anything to do with the World Health Organization, and we don't want to pay any dues to them. They're being run by a bunch of not just socialists, but you have people with a communist background, communist ideology, communist mindset that are literally running the World Health Organization. You know, this weekend, my husband and I went to visit some relatives, and we found out that one of his relatives that he cares very much about, that this individual and their spouse have both been working for years with the United Nations. And in the beginning, we would have thought that's a good thing because of UNICEF and all that. But a lot of people don't know the history behind UNICEF. And what I found out and why I don't donate to UNICEF or UNCO or the United Nations or anything like that. Now, this relative of his and their spouse have been very actively involved in Africa and other countries with things like AIDS. And I have a deep respect for these two relatives of his. I've never met them in person, and he hasn't seen them in a long time. But when he and I both started realizing what they've been involved in and how easy it is for people who, you know, have made their entire life's work to taking care of people, whether it's with AIDS or HIV or hunger, starvation in many of these third world countries. We can greatly admire his relatives for the work they're doing, greatly respect the work they're doing. But unfortunately, there comes a price. Now, they've chosen, and maybe because they truly believe, they think the world is overpopulated. We very much disagree, and we've got the statistics and the numbers to prove that. Now, yes, when you go into third world countries like they've gone into, you're going to find countries like India and Africa and China and others seem to be, you know, especially India, very overpopulated. But as a whole, I would not say that there's too many people on this planet. But of course, when you're people like themselves and they're around people like themselves and you keep hearing the same thing over and over again, pretty soon you start to spout it yourself. You start to believe it. You start to talk about it and you start to make that part of your mantra. And this weekend, we found out that this relative of his and their spouse are working for Bill Gates. That's right. You heard right. Working for Bill Gates. In fact, I even think one of the relatives is actually going into business with Bill Gates. Now, this is where my husband and I have to draw the line. This is where when you have family, even if you're of the same blood, you have to say, you know what? I have to remove myself. I can't, you know, I can continue to have a long distance relationship with them. We're on the West Coast. They're on the East Coast. But as far as having anything to talk about, anything that we have in common, they've made the world their children, and that's fine. I respect that. But, you know, we don't have children in common. They've never raised any. They have their animals, their pets. I think one of his relatives loves horses, as do I, and I own horses too. But as far as having anything else in common, no. In fact, I cannot ever see us having sit down, and we can absolutely not have a conversation has anything to do with world affairs or politics, because I think it would be very, very ugly if my husband and I really spoke our minds and gave the actual statistics and the actual facts to back up why we believe the way we do. But to find out that this relative and their spouse are actually friends with Bill Gates, they probably go out and party with Bill Gates, probably have dinner with Bill Gates, they're working hand in hand personally with Bill Gates, no. You know, the old saying of you throw your pearls after swine, you know, you don't want to do that. As you all know, I had someone staying with me for a couple years, and that individual had a niece who was married to a guy that was a chef. Now, her niece passed away many years ago with cancer, leaving a young child behind, a young boy, okay? And but her niece's husband, who now is a single father of this little boy, has been the chef for Bill Gates. Now, whether or not he still is the chef for Bill Gates, I don't know. I know Bill Gates and Melinda have gotten a divorce. I don't know if the chef has stayed with her or if he's doing what he's done before and traveling around the world with Bill Gates. But it's interesting. Bill Gates has him as his personal chef. Bill Gates does not and will not eat any GMO foods. What does that say to you? A person is pushing genetically modified food, but will not eat it himself. Will not eat anything that is genetically modified. But he's making millions of dollars from genetically modified foods. He's purchasing up farmlands all across the United States and linking them up with large corporations to try to get rid of the mom and pop farms and ranches where we can have some say-so over our food and how it's produced, how it's grown, how it's made. You know, the old saying, control the food, you control the people. So here's someone like Bill Gates, the hypocrite, the monster that he is. And yet he himself is purchasing up farmland, sucking it into his pocket, his big corporations that he's founding left and right. And so he will be able to control the food distribution. And then, of course, we see all these fires breaking out and these plants exploding, whether they're making baby formula here in the United States or they're, you know, creating places where meat can be packaged or our chickens and their eggs. I mean, left and right, we've seen all these fires going up in the past few years, right about the time that they had us getting locked down into this pandemic. And we're still seeing this happening left and right. And we know it's not, you know, you can't sit there and just point your finger and say, it must be George Soros paying Antifa and Black Lives Matter to do this. No, no, I think it's much, much deeper than that, folks. I mean, whether we want to go down the rabbit hole or not, but the thing is, I think it goes much deeper than that. So you've got Bill Gates now, who's pushing genetically modified foods and wanting to inject our corn and our vegetables and our fruit with these inoculations, with these mRNA, with these modified RNA. He believes that if I can't get everybody inoculated by rolling up their sleeve and going down to their doctor's or hospital's office, then what I need to do is I need to put it in their food supply. So one way or another, I'm going to modify their RNA. I'm going to modify their RNA. They're even talking about wanting to add it to our water supply. Folks, do you realize how evil this is? How insidious this is? They want to inject the cows and the chickens and the pigs with this modified RNA. Why? Why are they doing this? You know why? Because it's part of their depopulation agenda. By the year 2030, they wanted to have 90% of the world's population eliminated. And what they're shooting us up with is things that ruin your immune system so your body can't fight off with natural immunities all these diseases and things that we already have out there. And then they want to actually, in their labs right now, we've discovered in the Ukraine that Hunter Biden and his father were doing deals with people in the Ukraine that had these bioweapon labs. Why do you think we're at war right now? Because even though we may not care for Putin, many of us believe he's still involved deeply with the KGB. We understand when he says, I don't want to be part of a one world order. I don't want to be part of globalization. I get that, okay? And that he's upset because there are, in the Ukraine, there are Nazis that are the children and grandchildren from the former Nazis of World War II. I get that. But you don't sit there and create a war of this magnitude. What you do is you just go in and you destroy the bioweapon labs that were being built and being created and being worked and researched out of in the Ukraine. That's what you do. You go after those bio labs that Hunter Biden and his father Joey, or we call Pete Joey, that they were all involved in. Now, there's something else that's going on with Bill Gates. Did you know that Bill Gates, I saw a documentary the other day, Bill Gates is now going and he's trying to create with a bunch of laboratories, and they're in the final stages now of creating artificial eggs. He doesn't want us to eat natural eggs, even though many of these eggs we've gotten, it's taken them weeks and months to get from the farm to the store. And they're being moved around and packaged. And usually the eggs you get at your Albertsons or Safeway or Winco, your eggs are anywhere from 6 to 9 weeks old. Did you know that? Yes. The average eggs that you purchased in your food department store are 6 to 8 to 9 weeks old, if not longer. That's why so many people are saying, if you have the land and you've got the ability, you want the natural homegrown eggs. Much better for you. You know where they've come from. You know that your chickens have not been given a bunch of hormones to make them grow faster. Your eggs are not going to be full of hormones or of the mRNA. So now here's Bill Gates, who will not eat genetically modified foods. But he is now trying to create chicken eggs that have been created in a lab and that are modified and created to be like a real egg. It's appalling, folks. It's appalling with these evil, evil people. You know, you look at George Soros, and he's admitted time and again, he has no regrets. And he'll do what he's doing now all over again, because he said it's all about making money. He doesn't care how many lives it cost. He doesn't care who is maimed or injured permanently. He doesn't care who dies. He's all about making money. He's as evil, him and Bill Gates are as evil as they come. And when you look at Bill Gates' history, his father was a eugenics. They believed in euthanizing people. They believed in taking people out to, they believed make the world better for they, the elitist. This should be causing the world's people to rise up in arms and say no more. So I was watching this documentary the other day about the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. They have been creating wars on this planet for over 2,000 years. Were you aware of the fact that the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers have been creating wars and bedlam and becoming wealthier and wealthier? And this is something they've been doing for 2,000 years? I wasn't aware that they went back that far. There are many, many wealthy families that are in the top elitist, but those two especially have created wars where there would have been no wars. They've had people killed. They were completely innocent in order to shut them up. You look at what happened to Seth Rich, because he knew what the Democrat Party was doing under Hillary, and he was murdered for it. You look at Brandy Vaughn out of Santa Barbara, California, who came back over from Europe, ended up raising a son by herself, working for Merrick, working for big pharmaceuticals, discovering how what they were making was actually killing people. So when she quit working for them, she started being a spokesperson. She started warning people. It didn't take much for the big pharmaceuticals to go and pay off the coroner to say that she had died from natural causes. She had told all of us she was in perfect health. She didn't smoke or drink or do drugs or recreational drugs or anything. She ate healthy. She was young. She would never think of killing herself. And yet I think it was her son came in, young son came in, and found her dead on the floor. And this is what the pharmaceuticals do. They pay people to assassinate people. And then they go and have somebody else paid to assassinate the person who assassinated the person they wanted taken out. And sometimes they even go so far as to have a third individual taking out the second one who took out the first assassination or the first assassinator. So you've got man number A who's killed by man number B, and man number B is killed by man number C, and then man number D kills man number C. That way it never gets back to the pharmaceutical companies. They don't care. They are all about their lavish lifestyles. They are all about control. It's about power and it's about control. You follow the money, you will find where it leads. Brandy found this out. Many of our doctors and scientists around the world warning us about the inoculations and telling us how these bioweapons were actually created so therefore they could instill fear in people around the world and then push the inoculations. The inoculations are what some people call the real mark of the beast. Now, whether or not you believe that the inoculations are the mark of the beast, but just look at it. We now know that this wasn't just created in Wuhan. These were created in the Ukraine as well. So we don't put any blame on any one country. I don't like calling it the China virus, but so we don't put the blame on any one country. So rather than calling it the China virus and then saying, well, the Ukraine was involved in this too, but let's go back to the deep state, the part of the military industrial complex that is evil. There's a good part of the military of the U.S. and there's a bad part of the military. So let's go back to the military-industrial complex and let's look at Bill Gates and Melinda Gates before they broke up and their foundation. They were paying Dr. Ralph Barak out of Chapel Hills, North Carolina, it's the university there, paying him to do the gain of function and work with viruses coming from bats. And they were dealing with monkeys too, I'm sure. But not only were they paying Dr. Ralph Barak, but they were paying a gal by the name of Dr. Daniel Anderson. Dr. Daniel Anderson worked out of Duke University. And she later on, just before the pandemic, went on to work for Bill Gates. She became the science fact checker. The science czar, that's right, of Facebook. She was hired by Mark Zuckerberg to be the science fact checker in order to stop people from sharing with each other on Facebook how their relatives were dying minutes or hours after taking the inoculation. People were not allowed for the last 2 or 3 years to talk about how their relatives died and that this was not coincidental. So she was one of those that's working for Mark Zuckerberg. And you all know that Mark Zuckerberg has been working for the crooked portion of the FBI as well as for the CIA. You know that, right? He's been given numerous awards and dinners and banquets in his honor, where he's gotten up on stage and the FBI and the CIA have given him plaques and certificates and acknowledgement for the wonderful work he's been doing for them. You see, Facebook is really monitored and controlled by the FBI and the CIA. Just one of many things that they've used against us once they created Patriot Act 1 and Patriot Act 2. You see, they had to push Patriot Act 1 down our throats, but they had to put enough fear in people where Congress and senators would play along to get along, and so they created the Ruby Ridge, and they did the situation in Waco. That was the ATF that created that under the orders of Janet Reno. And the three or four ATF agents that died, they were climbing up on the roof and tried to go in the side window, those agents had to be taken out. You know why? Because they used to be the bodyguards from Bill Clinton when he was governor in Little Rock, Arkansas. And they knew where the bodies were buried. They knew the secrets of Hillary and Bill Clinton and his brother and some of their other cohorts. These men, some of these men had been his bodyguards when they were taking him to the brothels to meet with his prostitutes. And that's where he fathered that young boy that we heard about, who's now, what, up in his late 20s or early 30s? So yes, Bill Clinton fathered a young man from a black woman that was a prostitute in Little Rock, Arkansas. And those bodyguards knew those secrets. That's why they had to be taken out. So they were promoted. You're right. They were promoted from being former governor's bodyguards to being BATF agents for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms under the Department of Treasury. But it wasn't a promotion. It was a way to put them in the line of fire to eliminate them. The two young boys, they were on their bicycles, like the many of them ride around at night and summer nights in the southern states. The evenings are beautiful and summery. And they saw one of the drug drops of one of the little Cessnas coming into the MENA airport, dropping drugs for Bill Clinton and his friends and his brother Roger. They had to eliminate those boys. So they murdered them and laid them out across the train tracks. And they paid the coroner to say the boys had died of natural causes. Many of you remember when I had the Concord Hour and later the Concord Show, I brought Larry up. Larry had been the right-hand man working for Governor Bill Clinton. Larry Nichols had seen what Clinton had done. He had actually done some of his dirty work for him. And in later years, as he was dying of lung cancer, he was trying to warn all of us that of the two people, Hillary was the monster. Hillary was the one that Larry Nichols wanted to take out. Go read the book, The Clinton Chronicles. Study up on what actually happened. Larry came up with me one last time just before the pandemic really hit. And he was trying to tell the story of what had actually happened in Arkansas. But those boys were murdered, laid across the train tracks, and the one woman that was the girlfriend of one of Bill Clinton's friends that was helping him with the drugs, they were running arms down to South America. Bill Clinton and his friends, with Hillary's help, were running weapons down to South America. And then they were getting paid by drugs being brought in through the MENA Little Rock Airport under the cover of radar and dropped. And that's what those two young men so fatefully saw. And that's what caused their demise. So we've got Danielle Anderson. And we've got others, so we'll be right back with the other side of the story, folks. This is Maggie Rose, and you are listening to The Edge of Darkness here, Jeffrey Bennett's The Edge of Darkness, and we will be right back in just a few minutes.
I play a game of a rich boy. I buy everything I can. My bankroll is a foot thick. I'm a wealthy man.
Truth! You handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Let's talk debt versus deficit. I'm Peter Serafine with another Liberty Minute. The national debt is like your credit card balance. It is the amount of money owed if you pay it off right now. The national debt limit is like your credit limit. It is the maximum amount you are allowed to borrow. The 14th Amendment says that the public debt shall not be questioned. It does not say that increasing the debt can't be questioned or challenged. Every time we approach the debt limit, politicians on both sides say that we will default on our debt if we don't raise the limit. Well, that's only true if government keeps spending on everything that they want. Only two expenses are specifically authorized by the U.S. Constitution: the public debt and national defense. Constitutionally, everything else is optional. Pay the debt payment and the national defense expense, and budget what's left. No debt increase needed. Don't let politicians lie to you so that they can keep spending your money with reckless abandon. Please visit the shop at liberty-lighthouse.com and pick up a bumper sticker or t-shirt. Until next time, Cephas Paschev, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Welcome back, folks, to Republic Broadcasting Network here, and I'm your host, Maggie Rose, and you're listening to The Edge of Darkness. Today's date, again, is May 15th, 2023, and we've been talking about some of the things that have been going on and what has been happening to us around the world. We last left off that, yes, Dr. Danielle Anderson of Duke University was on the payroll, also Bill Gates and Melinda Gates, and she's also on the payroll of Mark Zuckerberg, and she is his science czar. the so-called fact checker that tries to keep us from pinning any information up on Facebook that has anything to do with the nefarious things going on with these inoculations. Notice I don't call them immunizations. I don't call them vaccinations. I call them inoculations. And we are discovering more and more people around the world every day are having serious problems and a lot of fatalities due to these things going on. And now, of course, Bill Gates is trying to push the Merrick Gardasil again. And we all know how very, very dangerous that is. So anyway, besides Danielle Anderson and Dr. Ralph Barak, we also had Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, and we had Obama actually working with Bill Gates prior to Obama even leaving the White House. And they were working very closely with Dr. Charles Lieber. Now, Dr. Charles Lieber was at Harvard University, and he was in the biochemistry department. He was the chairman, the head of that department, and he was on the payroll for Bill Gates. So that's right. He was not just getting paid. He wasn't just getting paid from Harvard for doing his job there and had a lab there, but he also was getting paid by Bill Gates and Melinda Gates. And of course, we know now that Dr. Daniel Anderson was actually taking tubes and vials of some unknown biological makeup, and she was flying on a regular basis to China. How many of you knew that? That Mrs. Danielle or Miss Danielle Anderson was doing this. So Charles is getting paid, Dr. Charles Lieber getting paid by Harvard. He's getting paid by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And guess what? He was also getting paid by the Red Chinese. Yes, you heard it right, folks. He was getting paid around $50,000 a month, and he was doing deals with them in their lab back in Wuhan, okay? So every month he was getting paid by the Red Chinese, and there's a program that many of you may not have heard about. It's called the 1,000 Talents Program, 1,000 Talents Program. And this is a program similar to when we have foreign exchange students come to the United States for 1 year study in high school, and then we send someone back to their country and their school, and so we do an exchange program. This was a little bit different. We have many, many students coming from all around the world, from China, from Korea, from Japan, from everywhere, to come study in our junior colleges or to come study in our universities. Now, because they are from out of state, it's no different than, let's say, if you live in California and you want to go to school in Florida. You're going to have to pay out-of-state tuition for at least the first year you're there, unless you decide to establish residency. Now, you establish residency by one of many ways, depending upon what the requirements are from that state, but it could be getting a driver's license and then holding that driver's license for 1 year. There could be many other requirements, also registering to vote in that state. That is one of the main ways to prove your residency in the state you're living in is by registering to vote, not just getting a driver's license. So these students might actually end up paying, out-of-state residency until such time they establish residency. But when you're from overseas and you're here on a student visa, hear what I said, student visa, and you're from China, Korea, Japan, Germany, Ireland, wherever, then there's a different set of rules. Now, your tuition is going to be even higher than the California student that's going to school in Florida as an out-of-state student. You as a foreign national coming from another country to come here to go to school for 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years to get your four-year degree, you're paid even more money. And the universities love this. They just suck up that money, and they just milk it for all it's worth. Well, under this 1,000 Talents Program, there's another kind of whole set of rules and things as well. Charles Lieber was getting not only $50,000 a month from the Red Chinese, but he was also working through the 1,000 Talents Program. And these are probably one of the things that got him arrested back in January of 2020 at the very beginning of the... So here he's getting paid by Harvard. They don't know he's getting paid by the Chinese, the Red Chinese, and they don't know he's getting paid by, you know, Dr. Fauci has put him in touch with Bill Gates, and Bill Gates is paying him as well. But you know what? When Dr. Charles Lieber was arrested, a couple of the individuals that were arrested with him, one of them was a female. She was still a red Chinese national, and she was under the guise of like a student and then his lab assistant working in his laboratory there at Harvard. Did you know she was a lieutenant in the Red Chinese Army at the time of her arrest? It's very similar to the lady that was at UC Davis, California, a few years ago. And when people caught on, she was a spy working for the Red Chinese. And she was a spy at UC Davis, California. She escaped and traveled from UC Davis to San Francisco, about an hour away, and turned herself into the Chinese embassy, where they extradited her back to China. We have so many spies in this country, folks, and that's why with what we have going on the border is so crucial, because we have not 126, like Joey said, we have over 178 countries that have illegals coming over the border, and they're bringing with them cholera, tuberculosis, leprosy, diphtheria, HIV, you name it. But the most serious, folks, are the cholera, the tuberculosis, and the leprosy. And they're just pouring over the border. Most of them are not being screened. They're not, they're, you know, like before, there was the catch and release, or give them a piece of paper and say, here, you know, you come back in 3 to 6 months for your court hearing. They're not going to come back. And they were even giving them Obama phones. Can you believe that? And we're paying for that. So the world is getting crazier and crazier. What I did want to cover tonight is a bunch of things here that's very important. Some of them I'm going to gloss over very, very quickly. One of them, Democrat attorney generals in many states are urging the federal government to crack down on gas stoves. Now, there are right now about 11 attorneys generals in 11 Democrat states that have gone to the Consumer Product Safety Commission board, and they said, we believe there's health hazards associated with gas stoves. Are you kidding me? This group of attorney generals was led by General Brian Schwab, who is the Washington, D.C. attorney general, and they sent a letter asking the Safety Commission, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, to collect information and, quote, find the best path forward, unquote, to limit harms allegedly caused by gas stoves, but being mindful of their, quote, disproportionate impact on underserved communities, unquote. Now, the letter they sent out to the Biden administration has actually caused the Biden administration to try to come closer and closer to regulating gas stoves. And we already know that in the state of Oregon, that they are trying to do this in places like Eugene and other places as well. As well as they're trying to force people or even blackmail people into not purchasing gas cars anymore, but electric cars. And people are saying, look at these electric cars do not hardly get any mileage. And if I want to travel 600 miles to go visit family, and I have to pull over after 200 miles or so, 200 to 300 miles, and sit there for 7 to 8 hours in the parking lot of a Target or a shopping store and sit there in the car with my husband while we're waiting for our car to electrically power up. And it costs us anywhere from $15 to $25 to be able to put electricity in our car. And we can sit there 4 to 7 hours before we're fully charged. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's insane. So right now we found out that in December 2022, there was a study that they tried to say was linking childhood asthma to gas stoves, but it was backed by two nonprofits actively that were working to adopt only electric appliances. And they were receiving part of their funding from the nonprofit group RMI, which said they were claiming to accelerate the clean energy transition by transforming the global energy system. But folks, these two nonprofits were actually working for the adoption of the electric appliances. Talk about a conflict of interest. Also, Biden's Secretary of State just recently got snagged in a bold-faced lie. This was an article put out by Peter LaBarbera, and it said that the leading senator investigating Biden family corruption said that the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, told, quote, a bold-faced lie, unquote, when he said in a sit-down previous interview with lawmakers after the 2020 election that he did not communicate via email or text with Hunter Biden, the son of the then-future president. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, made the allegation after he and Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley wrote a letter providing evidence that Blinken had, quote, provided false testimony to Congress, unquote, in his transcribed congressional interviews. Johnson's and Grassley's May 1st letter to Blinken began by stating, quote, on December 22nd, 2020, you provided false testimony to Congress during your voluntary transcribed interview, unquote. Further on, after establishing that Blinken agreed it is a crime to lie to Congress, the letter states, quote, despite this clear warning that it is a crime to make false statements to Congress and congressional staff, you did not provide truthful testimony during the interview when you denied corresponding with Hunter Biden via email when you served as Deputy Secretary of State under the Obama administration, unquote. The letter provides excerpts from Blinken's 2020 transcribed interview, including the Senate interrogator's question to Blinken, quote, did you have any other means of correspondence with him, Hunter Biden, emails or texts? To which Blinken lied and replied, no. So for those of you that have been asking me what's going on in Oregon, this was put out by Senator Dennis Linthicum. That's Linthicum. He wrote, why have Oregon state senators from both Republican and independent parties chosen to deny quorum and stop legislative business? Across all 50 states, legislative members have a fiduciary responsibility by sworn affirmation or oath to uphold their constitutional obligations. Political pundits, mainstream sources, and social media activists are good at repeating slogans, but as you know, little else. There is rarely a look at the details lurking in the shadows. The Oregon Senate President Rob Wagner, Democrat, has claimed a, quote, open door, unquote, policy and pretends to want robust debate about policy issues. And I'm quoting Wagner when he says, I want robust debate, unquote. But he's lying, folks. The article by Senator Dennis Linthicum goes on to say, yet unfathomable volumes of recorded video from every floor session and committee hearing testifies violently against this one-sided fantasy. The Democrat majority has steadfastly refused to share accurate details about the numerous bills that they've had no Republican input on. The mainstream and social media talking heads continue to carry water for the majority party and have continued to mischaracterize sincere issues that truly deserve, quote, robust debate and discussion, unquote. For example, House Bill 2002, House Bill 2003, and House Bill 2005 are respectfully being promoted as necessary to, quote, save abortion, unquote, quote, secure elections, unquote, and, quote, prevent gun violence, unquote. These phrases simply peddle the popular twaddle while hiding the truth. These three examples out of 3,000 bills in this session are stepping stones to a divisive political misinformation agenda. These bills codify party talking points and bumper sticker slogans. The House Bill 2002 marketing template is a political strategy to scare women into thinking that those, quote, church-going conservatives, unquote, want to strip away a woman's legal right to an abortion in Oregon. A woman's right to terminate her pregnancy is legal at every step along the journey, from conception to the last minute of the pre-birth moment. The Dobbs decision from the Supreme Court has no impact on Oregon state law, and House Bill 2002 does not add or subtract any additional rights for women. What it does do is allow an individual of any age to receive an abortion without parental notification, all the way down to age 10. Yet other adults, teachers, school nurses, neighbors, medical service providers, or even a possible abuser or trafficker might know, assist, and conceal details regarding all these medical procedures. Progressives are running wild with claims that this bill is about, quote, reproductive health and women's rights, unquote. The significant text, which gives but a retold toehold to their deceit, is achieved by replacing the plain English phrase, terminate the individual's pregnancy, with the politically charged text, quote, exercise the individual's reproductive health rights under Section 3 of this 2023 Act, unquote. That's all, folks. That's the extent of the charges with regard to adult women. However, when it comes to children, the floodgates are wide open. First, HB 2002 removes all age limits on reproductive health care. Current law contains the phrase, quote, who is 15 years of age, unquote, which would get removed. Specifically, this quote may not disclose to the minor's parent, unquote. The requirement applies to all children and every conceivable reproductive medical procedure. Even counsel admitted during the committee testimony, this would apply to a 10-year-old child. Do you know any 10-year-old children capable of providing a, quote, authorized disclosure notice, unquote, to the medical staff? This, quote, unquote, notice is a requirement for parental notification. In other words, without this notice, mom and dad are kept in the dark purposely. What if a child wants mom and dad's love, care, and support? How does a 10-year-old communicate that when the force of law demands every medical provider, quote, not disclose, unquote, information about services or medications? Additionally, what legal standing would that document bring during any claim of medical malpractice, wrongful death, or other unforeseen harm to a child stemming from negligence, carelessness, wrongful acts, anaphylactic shock, or inappropriate action taken by people who are state-authorized, non-parental actors? Why would the state of Oregon empower abusers, traffickers, or any other nameless, unaccountable player over and above a parent? Due process and judicial review are important safeguards for parents, families, and children. Why does HB 2002 omit these safeguards? These couple of sentences are a small portion of the 48 pages of the legislative handiwork, which is anti-family, anti-parent, anti-business, pro-administrative state, and which promotes healthcare tyranny. I believe knowledge is power. In House Bill 2002, we see planks in the pathway to political tyranny as the state of Oregon strips parental rights from parents and their children. Stay tuned as I expose more political malfeasance lurking within the transhumanist movement, anti-gun efforts, electioneering fraud, and the lawlessness that is swallowing Oregon. Sincerely, Dennis Linthingham, Oregon State Senate. Wow, folks. Now, we only have time for one more thing here. And again, I want to thank the senator. Again, I want to thank Senator Dennis Linthingham, L-I-N-T-H-I-C-U-M, for this contribution in this article. It's in the Roseburg Beacon, Wednesday, May the 10th, 2023, under the Roseburg Beacon Local and National. It's entitled, So What's Up in Oregon? I have one more story that's very important to cover. We've got a few more minutes to do that. It says here, this is on Volume 16, Issue 19. The United States may freeze bank withdrawals as currency fear rises, expert warns. This is by Bob Unruh. Quote, an expert in economics is warning that the Biden administration may be looking at ways to lock down your checking account, literally ban withdrawals from the banking system. The teams Biden has installed in power in the federal government already have moved to force you to buy an electric car, limited the kind of appliances you can buy, censored the questions you can raise about fair elections, and much more. Now the next step could be your bank account, according to microeconomics guru Hugh Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-Y. A report of the Daily Hildy explains Hendry was in an interview with Bloomberg Markets when the questions of mass panic and capital flight came up. He said the moves away from the U.S. banking system, which recently has seen several major institutions fail, is justified. The report explained, quote, Hendry says a further decline in the M2 money supply, which in part tracks money and liquid checking accounts, could convince the United States government to step in and prevent its citizens from taking any of their money or capital out of the banking system. Unquote. Quote, sometimes it's kind of relevant to panic. I recommend, though, that you do panic. You've seen the biggest waterfall decline in M2 right now. M2 in deposits is not loans. That's the deposits that are fleeing the system and going into money market funds, unquote, he explained. He goes on to say, quote, that could reach a crescendo where the Treasury and the Fed may actually come in and try to restrict your rights as a U.S. citizen to pull your own money out of the U.S. banking sector, unquote. He then goes on to say, and he says, and their capital flight, deposit flight from the banking sector seeking yield. I fear that, I don't say this lightly, but in 1934, the Federal Reserve Act confiscated gold from private U.S. citizens. Quote, we're at the point where the federal and treasury officials, I'm sure, are having to consider a gate and a lock on all U.S. bank money deposits, unquote. The recommendation from this one expert was to seek out, quote, ultra-long treasuries, unquote, as they are trading below expectations. Quote, it's time to own the most reviled security in the universe, the ultra-long treasuries. I know you all think we've got an inflation problem. It was a supply shock. And a supply shock needs a manifestation of more and more bank printing of loans to propel it into the future. We're getting the opposite. The ultra longs are trading 2 to 3 standard deviations below the ETF. He also suggested Bitcoin is something I would conceive as an asset class that could trade 3 or 4 times higher in the next 5 years. And this article, again, is called The U.S. Government Wants to Freeze All of Our Withdrawals. They want to decide if we get our money, when we get our money, and how much of our money we get. And if they don't like you protesting at the Capitol or marching in the streets against tyranny, they could actually freeze your accounts like they did up in Canada. Remember the truckers? Remember with Justin Trudeau, the love child of Fidel Castro? He froze the accounts of not only the people in Canada, but also not allowing people in the U.S. to send the truckers money for gas and for food. Folks, I am Maggie Rose, and this is Republic Broadcasting Network. I will be back on Friday at the same time, and I will have with me my co-host, Jim Hoffman and Chris Brumbles. You all have a very safe rest of the week, and I hope you all had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. God bless you, and good night.
We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're mad. Our cause is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty, and our dignity, and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking anymore back. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today.